state of Georgia, for instance, is a restless nation with many uprisings which have been quelled militarily against the wishes of Russia. Russia has over 146 million people to be reckoned with, and Georgia has some 5.3 million, to which the USSR must account. Almost all the states of the republic will side with Russia as the party grows stronger. Ah, indeed, Yeltsin is a man with whom to be reckoned, and aid to little Georgia for earthquake relief may not be sufficient any longer. Georgia can be most central in damage on an emotional level, for it is in the western part of Transcaucasia and contains the largest manganese mines in the world. Well, what could that be worth? Lots. It is often a prime substance in the manufacture of steel, falling in the sixth octave periodic register of elements. Falling into the same octave wherein argon is the seed, and running from fifth toward seventh, includes potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, and iron, with cobalt on the cusp. So you see, you would have a much higher frequency or finer steel than, say, vanadium or chromium. Lower in the octave, you have argon, chlorine, sulfur, phosphorus, and silicon on the cusp. Moreover, manganese is a relatively low-frequency element and is utilized in producing low-frequency pulse beams. Indeed, the USSR would not like to lose that commodity. Further, Georgia is rich in timber resources and coal mines. Basic industries are food, textiles, iron, steel, but it is resource for grain, tea, tobacco, fruits, grapes, and other agricultural-related products. To maintain control, the USSR must control at least Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and especially the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. In the Ukrainian SSR, for instance, are almost 52 million people. Can you now see how frail a reed Mr. Unpopular Gorbachev actually is blowing in the winds of possibilities? I recognize that I am a geologist by trade, but my commission is to study your globe from that particular aspect within the whole. I could recommend nothing more important to your physical input than to get good reference material and know your world. You ones of Earth do not even know your own bodies and almost nothing about your planet. You speak of the Ring of Fire, and yet you understand not the connections and why, for instance, eruptions in the Philippines are important. The Pacific Plate generally outlines the Ring of Fire, but oh, if you look no further, you are amiss in good judgment. There is a Philippine Plate, which has great impact, just as does the Indian Plate, which encompasses Australia. These particular plates are impacted greatly by the movement of the Pacific Plate. Note also that the coastal areas of the volcano chain and the major western coastal fault lines are within the North American portion of the American Plate, while areas of Central America and Northern South America are in the Caribbean Plate. South America is in the southern portion of the American Plate. Now, you have to look at the area of Georgia, which you will find in the Eurasian Plate, which is affected by movement in both the American, Philippine, and Pacific Plates. The magnificent Himalayas are the crumpled consequence, for instance, of the Indian Plate pushing northward into and under rigid Eurasia. Do you begin to feel your education is lacking a bit of valid input? Precious brothers, you simply cannot expect to know nothing about your little world and then expect to be accepted without limits within the universal cosmic order. You as a species or civilization of human physical beings are still quite in your infancy. There's nothing wrong with that. It is just so unlikely that your ability at this stage of development and knowledge allows you to participate in the great federation of the cosmic experience. You grow technologically into inability to control or cope with that which you tinker. You will find your brothers in the cosmos will not be very accepting of your demands in a council wherein you do not even know the tectonic plates of your own planet. And I promise you that the ones who develop the death rays and weapons do not know anything about the working order of your globe, much less do the politicians who control every facet of your existence in your physical experience. Would this not be the wondrous gift one such as Inquirer General Cole could give unto his listeners? Or would he simply lose those who proclaim him entertaining? You see, we of the command do not understand the insults to your intelligence, which you not only tolerate but encourage. Understand is not a good word for use herein, for we do understand what is happening and what is intended by your would-be king masters. But our difficulty is the lack of expectation on the part of you, the people, to stand against the insults upon your experience. I believe it should not have to be from an alien being that you should be gaining your education regarding these matters. It should be from your learned teachers at your universities and kindergartens. Do you not realize there is an adult within each of you trying to get out? Hethan and Dharma are going to bring forth some very interesting information, which might be worthy of your attention. It's interesting. I'm just stopping for a second here. It dawns on me it's interesting. This would be alluded to as USNP circles around again right now, because the information Commander Soltek is talking about is the information that Dharma and Hathong were bringing through at that time of important scientific nature that, was related to USNP and what they were bringing forth that was Walter Russell's material. Anyway, Hathong and Dharma are going to bring forth some very interesting information which might be worthy of your attention. You keep working with the thin person trying to get out from the overweight trap, the inner child coming into protection. No, no, no. Within each is an adult trying to get past the whole lot of the garbage. Beyond the tending teddy bears, I believe Hathong will have you cuddle your constitution and not your teddy bear and binky. Haven't all of you slept with your binky long enough? When God says, quote, come as children unto me, he doesn't mean with binky and bunny. He means with curiosity, flexibility, and eagerness to come into knowledge with himself. He cares not about your sexual or physical food preferences, nor other of the physicalness. You must come into knowing that all of those things are of the flesh physical experience, and you will come into maturity and knowledge, or you will linger within that shroud of discontent and restlessness. So be it. You, the people, are on the brink of allowing the puppet masters to commit particle atomic suicide of a planet. Is it not time you gave up your binky and stopped this insanity? I see that I have outstayed my welcome and will therefore give my appreciation with a reminder or two. Within the next few years of your counting, things are going to heat up from your place, and I do not mean global warming BS, and from your atmosphere. You are going to have a lot of radioactive debris pouring back in on your orb. And if you don't get with the program and petition assistance, you are going to all get a very big hot foot. That's the end of the quoting of that. He continues, now with that refresher lesson for foundation, let us take a brief look at relatively recent earthquake map data. First for the entire Pacific plate, and then for Northern and Southern California of your United States. We consider the exercise of looking over these maps not so much because there are any changes from what I have discussed in over 5 years of past lectures, but because so many of you plead with me for an update on the geophysical front. Well, the same speeding train is still on the same crash course towards the same mountainside. Nothing has changed, nor is likely to, in the solidifying probability space for your orb. Now, I can't pull up the figures here for you, but I've shown you often enough the world map from SeismoWatch, and I have a recent one here I can hold up that he's going to refer to. He says, figure one is from the May 19, 1996 issue of the superb publication called SeismoWatch Newsletter, where the world map we are using shows earthquake activity for the time span of April 29 through May 5, 96. Remember that the Pacific Plate is approximately framed on its east side by the Americas and on its west side by Japan and Indonesia. Now, if we consider the Pacific Plate as a clock face, it is plain to see that from 11 o'clock north of Japan down through 7 o'clock near New Guinea, a great deal of activity is occurring. In the time frame of this particular graphic, Alaska, it's slightly past noon on our clock face, and the Americas, between 2 and 5 o'clock, are relatively quiet. But such is only the sleeping calm before the abrupt storm which must occur as that massive plate continues in its northwesterly journey with increasingly more deliberate motion. Study the map carefully to discern just how busy is Mother Earth's crustal skin in its attempt to equilibrate massive forces at work beneath her surface and within her circulatory system. Figure 2 is also from SeismoWatch and covers approximately the same time span, April 25 through May 1, 96. What I wish to call to your particular attention here is the greatly increased level of creep activity along the San Andreas Fault in the active segment that is south of and then northward on up to what I shall call the triple junction point, where the San Andreas is intersected by the bottom ends of the two dangerous East Bay faults, the Hayward and Calaveras. This is a most dangerous situation in the making, as that creep energy piles up like boxcars on a train track at that triple junction point, waiting to release this energy in travel by slippage further on up north along those three major fault lines, into all of those heavily populated San Francisco Bay Area cities. It is a matter of particular tragedy that, for instance, most of the East Bay Area's hospitals and schools sit directly atop the Hayward Fault. Can you imagine the problems waiting to happen just from this one condition, assisted as it had to be in the past by town politicians and their real estate planning and zoning commissions? Figure 3 is taken from the Southern California Seismographic Network's weekly newsletter, covering approximately the same time period as the other graphics we've been discussing. I wish to call to your attention the continued buildup of the activity along two major geometric triangles. One extends from Santa Barbara eastward to the Lake Isabella Ridgecrest, China Lake Naval Weapons Center area, and then on down southeast through the northeast side of Palm Springs and the Salton Sea and onward into Baja, Mexico. The other triangle is smaller and tighter, encircling Palm Springs itself. Those of you who have been attentive to the visions given to Gordon Michael Scallion are already well alerted to keep an eye on this Palm Springs area for major violent activity, which will likely precipitate much shifting of the crust with attendant devastation on up through greater Los Angeles proper, especially along the volatile Elysian Park Fault. And while we're on the subject of Los Angeles, look closely at the blob of black dots at approximately 11 o'clock to the letters LA on the map. That is the San Fernando Valley wherein was precipitated the Northridge earthquake on January 17, 1994. If any of these shaking events managed to cause enough nervous responses of inquiry in the public to warrant mention over the media channels, such will always be along the lines of, quote, not to worry, that they are, quote, simply more expected aftershocks of that devastating Northridge event. One can but marvel at that which is accepted without question by the mostly sleeping masses. Thus, to sum up this three-map scenario, it should be clear that major stress-relieving but life-disrupting earthquake and volcanic activity is imminent at many locations all around the massive Pacific Plate. From Figure 1, you can see clearly the motion as it looks from the perspective of the big picture. And from Figures 2 and 3, you can see on a more close-up scale the effects of that big picture motion as such reflects in the heightened activity in two very populated and economically powerful arenas of your United States West Coast. Remember my earlier quoted lesson from 1991, especially that all is connected to all, and you will be well on your way towards forming a true understanding of your world. I thus leave it to you ones to connect the dots, which fill in the details of this most sobering picture of impending great destruction, while I turn now to addressing an issue in the larger context of the planetary transition now in progress. We must never lose sight of the fact that earthquakes and other seemingly violent natural events are but adjustments made by Mother Earth at this time of transition, as she strives to return to a state of healthy balance after much injury has been inflicted upon her by a particularly heartless variety of self-centered fleas crawling around on and somewhat beneath her skin. Now he switches gears here and says, by way of introduction to this next topic, I shall first tell on my scribe as an example. As we write this, he is consciously carrying on four tasks simultaneously in order to try to, quote, get everything done that needs to get done within the confines of the seemingly available time, as you perceive same. Of course, if I were to let him see what all else he is also working on simultaneously that he is not conscious of doing at the moment, there would likely be a mutiny, or at least a weak plea for higher pay. So, like most of you of the ground crew, he wrestles with both the frustrating limitations of seemingly more rapidly disappearing time, or how time seems to be speeding up as the planetary frequency continues to move upward. As this transition process progresses, carrying with it all those who can adjust to the changes. While this is a nearly impossible adjustment, that is, upward in frequency with the attendant perceptive loss of time, for the many soulless or soul-deficient beings who mindlessly are running around on your orb, chasing after the next marketed item spewed out by your vidiot box programmings, for the lighted ground crew adjusting to and dealing with, quote, the case of the disappearing time, is a nearly constant, often annoying, and sometimes downright unnerving struggle. Nearly 2 years ago now, I discussed the physics of this apparent missing time phenomena with this scribe because he reasoned, and quite correctly so from a strictly conscious point of view, that as one's frequency increased with the attendant stepping up of all related activities such as mental functioning and awareness perception, time ought to seem to slow down. After all, you ones can all relate to the slowdown of time sensation that comes from intense concentration and focus upon a task, such as, say, getting into a fast sport like racquetball or ping pong, or having to deal with some life-threatening emergency like your automobile brakes failing while you're driving down a winding road. Time seems to almost stand still in those situations. And yet my scribe was complaining about finding himself losing time, that it was greatly speeding up and sometimes at an alarming rate. The question was, how could this be? The reason for the apparent contradiction is that as you lighted ground crew members continue to increase in frequency, access to other dimensions of expression become more fluently possible. Thus, like my scribe, you readers, too, are doing more and more things simultaneously, but they are being done mostly in those newly accessible other dimensional spaces. Thus, you could look at it as spending less time, say per hour, in this particular conscious domain, so that every time you come back and gather up the courage to look at the clock, you observe that more time has gone by than you can consciously account for. Thus is generated the apparent sensation of time speeding up. The problem is that right now you are just not particularly conscious of this expanded theater of activity, which includes these now more fluently accessible other dimensions. By way of another example, consider that you are washing several dishes in the kitchen sink, a job you feel takes several minutes. But while you are doing that, at an unconscious level, you make several trips to your den to play a few moves of chess with a computer, you check on the laundry in the laundry room, and you go outside and move the lawn sprinkler to another location. Now consciously back in the kitchen, you look up at the clock and are shocked to see that so much time has flown by while seemingly you were just washing those few dishes. I share this discussion at this time because from our vantage point of observation and monitoring, we see so many of you frustrated by and frequently questioning this accelerated evaporation of your usable time. And you often support this observation with the self-defeating thought that you most certainly must finally now be going crazy, or some such explanation. For after all, there seems to be no time anymore for getting things done. You feel that you, quote, blink twice and the day is over, right? Well, take comfort in the knowing that you are operating in a constantly expanding dimensional arena of activities, not all of which you can appreciate at the present moment. But while you work to be more patient with self and others, as you all effort through this disorienting perceptual phenomena with time associated with the planetary transitioning process, also consider this as a notice to consciously put what time you are given to good use. On that note, I think I shall take my own advice and sign off for now. As I said at the beginning of this writing, we are most busy in the monitoring department of Earth Shan's geophysical activities. What has made our job most complex these days is, of course, that the effects of man's continual heartless dinking with this planet are becoming so intertwined with the natural processes of rebalancing that the overall vegetable soup has become a most difficult broth to analyze in real time. But now I've used that mysterious word again, time. And so it's probably time I take my leave. Know that all of you of the ground crew are much beloved and constantly watched over by we of the monitoring realms. Always keep an eye out for us as we make our presence known, whether in the curious looking and appearing from nowhere clouds you can easily spot, mostly in the daytime, or in our magnificent spectrum strobing star-like jewels of the night sky. Know that we take as much delight in your confirming acknowledgments as you do in our subtle, or sometimes not so subtle, displays of presence. And we are ever only a thoughtful, or maybe better yet, a heartfelt mental call away. Thus you should never feel alone. Tonio Soltec to clear in the radiant light of Creator's most perfect plan for the healing and growth that is this time of transition. Salute and make it a point to ask God to help you use your time wisely in these final days. You'll be glad you did. And that's the end of that.
We're going to get there, aren't we? And it will be such that one of these days all of God's people will be able to hear. That doesn't mean the world will hear. But it's a responsibility you're not going to be able to cop out of forever.
Commander?
Yes.
Something happened on today's news. Lori just reminded me of in the microphone for just a second. You may or may not want to comment on it, but I got
to turn off the bottom. Yeah, I'm sorry.
On the new news on CNN, there was a report. Now, for the last several weeks, if you monitor the financial markets, the stock market has been sinking in small increments. It's gone down several hundred points, but it has been kind of overlooked because it oscillates. It goes up 50 points, down 50 points, up 30 points, down 40 points. So unless you watch it closely, you won't even notice much of a change has been going on. Though an oscillation on the order of 50 points up and down ought to tell people that the market is unstable. As a system, it is flopping around. It's not riding easily or just ascending like a balloon would. But they have had such ridiculous explanations for these drops in the last couple of weeks, trying all possible ways to put positive spin. If reports come out, if the market goes down 50 points and a report came out that day that the inflation numbers look better than expected, meaning the economy is doing better, they claim that the stock market went down because the economy looked better. This kind of thing is what's going on. Now, so the spin has been so violent and so breathtakingly positive that there isn't anything that can happen that the people aren't being fed. The market is doing just fine. Now, on today's news, as the financial report came on CNN, it didn't even sink in as I first heard it, because they now came on and said they fully expect the market to collapse by 10 or 15%. And if you want to not be caught in it, or if you don't expect that in your portfolio as part of your diversification, then you better get out of a number of stocks, or they just said get out of the market within the next several months. Now, this was today, Sunday. It's every half hour on headline news, and I doubt it would take several months. I at this point, don't know whether the market is in a state where it is collapsing and they can't hold it up anymore, or they are just giving a warning that they're about to pull the helium balloon out from under propping. But I have never heard such a negative spin put on the market as came from several sources this afternoon.
Well, a lot of things were dependent on the outcome of this small, I'm going to tell you it was small, election in Israel. You have, they're all part of the same game. So don't go off the deep end and say, oh, well, Perez lost and this other one is going to, well, as the Arabs were putting it. So far, the Israelis have been able to put the poison in the meat and then you eat it. Now you'll just be fed the poison. It's greater than that. You're going to find in Herzegovina, Bosnia, Chechnya, all of these now are vying for position and takeover so that everyone is pulled into this European community. You're going to find that as of this week, this day, this coming week, all of the Ukrainian nuclear, quote, arms are going to be shipped into Russia and dismantled in exchange for, get this one, nuclear fuel. And immediately that sounds good until you think, would you repeat that? You will see Yeltsin dancing with a beautiful young lady doing some sort of a spin and a hop, and we are westernizing and we are becoming this and we are becoming that, all the while Mr. Gorbachev is doing his thing in Russian when he has his operations right over here at the Presidio in California. What is this game? He has to have an interpreter to speak Russian when he lives over there in America, tax-free. So you have to understand that all of these are your enemy. And some of them are your friends. It is a political entanglement. You can't tell anything at all from the markets. If you look to see what is on the Dow Jones average, you're going to find all the obscene companies. So what would you expect? You have a system that, since the Federal Reserve private institution came along, and it is serviced by the Internal Revenue Service, a private corporation, all of these, you can get their charters. They have nothing to do with federal. They're a collection agency for the banks. Well, the Bank of International Settlements was the biggie in Switzerland. That's no longer of any interest whatsoever. You can even break a Swiss bank account without hardly a second effort. They have moved to Belgium. It's massive. You can't go down to Bank of America and expect them to do anything because it goes through the International Monetary Fund. Mr. Benson was one of your most powerful men, as is your Attorney General, because that is the United Nations force, and they are in charge, as in Janet Reno's case, of all domestic terrorism. So the FBI, everyone is under the orders at this moment of what is happening in Montana. And these are things that are basically open but are hidden from you. You're going to get distracted over here with the death of Leary, for instance. Oh, well, we'll all attend Leary and Angel Dust or whatever is the thing of the afternoon. And meanwhile, they'll come through and they will say something and it'll go right on. So that if it is ever brought forth that, well, the media hid it. No, they didn't. Right here on this day, they spoke of it. It's important to them to be able to go back. Because, you see, that is a Turner Broadcasting System. I would get out of here tonight. I want you to go and I want you to watch CNN or whoever is going to have this story of the Turner Diaries. And get the twist on that one. And I'm not talking about Teddy. I'm talking about how to build bombs, how to fertilizer, etc. They're going to work it up and work it up and work it up until you will go say, shoot them in Montana. We cannot have this kind of disorder. Well, as a matter of fact, you can't. Man is only ever going to be able to function under law. You can only have order as long as you have law. Good law. You see, if everybody followed the law, you wouldn't have any problem. You really wouldn't. And if you followed the laws of God, you wouldn't have to worry about the laws of man. That's what a third dimensional planet is all about. You have created the scenario by being men, by being human. And that brings us back to the spirituality of your very existence. If you get sunk into the mire and cannot extricate yourself from the mire of the human experience, you're destined to repeat it, just like history. And you think, oh, well, but yeah, but they told me and I'm now convinced there's no reincarnation. Who cares what you believe? When you're back again, you'll say, oops, I should have listened. Only it won't be clear in your mind. You're going to have to walk a long way down that road trying to get rid of that perception. Because there will always be a third dimensional experience somewhere, sometime in your sequence of evolution. Because that's what it's about, finding your way back to God, Creator. And that means that some of you who are a little more advanced in that capability are going to have to do some creating. Because the enemy sent his best against you. Always remember that. He has sent his best against you. And God's people don't usually tend to think in such negative terms. But when you do, when you are able to accept that, you'll stop being made the fool of so often. But I mustn't think that way. I have to apologize to you, God, every 5 minutes for even having that dirty, nasty, rotten thought. Well, I think some of you better consider those thoughts and start acting on them, rather than apologizing our whole existence away. Because maybe I shouldn't have felt that way. If you are a human being, you are going to feel these things. If you are a higher human being, you will not react to them. You will quietly, intelligently, and wisely respond. And if you think that working for God, you cannot counter what the enemy has brought against you, you are wrong. You will give away the planet you have. You will give it into the hands of your very enemy, because he will tell you you shouldn't feel that way. And you'll bury your head and say, I know it cannot be godly, because God allows and forgives and all of these things, and he's going to save me by his son. No, he's not. You are his son. You are his daughter. You will save yourselves, or he will let you perish until you learn better. And a teacher can do no more. So don't expect your angels to come flopping around at the last moment and snatch you away. They may do that, but first of all, you've got to believe in angels, don't you? Or you'll say, no, thank you. God's going to save me. Well, you better be careful. God often sends angels. And that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And so each of you will say, well, man, I'm not an angel. Boy, am I not an angel. Oh, ho, ho. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And isn't it time to start acting like a good one? You are the guides. You are the teachers. You are the angels. Since do this. And if you can't do it, I don't want to hear about it. That is a cop-out. If you can't stay awake, listen, hear, act. As the angel you are, don't expect God to do anything for you, because you haven't grown up. Soltec said it very well. There's an adult in every one of you trying, struggling, praying to get out. And you're all angels. You're all spirits. You're all simply messengers and helpers to see to it that we get our job done. And you're not going to save everything on the globe. If you have a private guardianship, you're going to have to attend that along with getting on with our work. And it'll all come clear one of these days. And it's not so far in advance of you now. That doesn't mean the whole world is going to come into awakening. It won't happen. But all you've got to do is watch that news now, and you're going to see the clues. Just as I said, with the mad cow disease, this is to bring the industry, all of those European countries, into the one world economy, the one world bank. And if you think you can go to some little side bank over in Guantanamo and get something done, forget it. They have everything under total control in the Caymans. Everywhere is structured. Go where you can get it done. Well, you can't say that because they may be evil. Of course they're evil. Every one of them are evil. Let's just leave it right there. They're evil. So go where you can get it done. You do not have to become evil yourself. You do not have to become the enemy to deal with the enemy. Is all around you. And when you stop feeling like the mark of the beast is going to be somehow placed on your forehead or on your hand, and that's going to be it, and I must not allow that to happen, and I will be a martyr first for freedom, country, God. No, it is a cop out. The mark of the beast, you must understand, is the mark on your soul. And God will protect those who protect their souls. There is no energy on the face of the earth that can touch you. I didn't say that couldn't kill you, but not that can touch your soul. Let's hear some good news. Would someone please read Sananda's? John, you're doing better. You've got to bring yourself under control, but you're getting better physically.
Yes.
And emotionally. And sometimes that is the hardest phase of all to abide. Because as you come into the understanding and the knowing, you get angry. And we have to let go of the anger. And bless the friends who care.
I guess that'll wake everybody up. All right, this is dated May 11th from Sananda to John. Beloved Brother John, these sisters of light are here to help you. It is time, John, it is time now. You will turn this around. And do not think it is only a lesson for yourself. It is a lesson for many. You will be granted peace of mind. Know that you are loved. You must know that you are loved. I am Sananda. 5/18/96. Peace, light, and love to this small group of lighted beings. Know ye not that you are in the remembering? Will you stand by, dear ones? Do not forget that you are not alone. We walk with you. Yea, we walk with you daily. Do you not recognize our presence? Blessings, blessings, beloved ones. How glorious it will be. Hold on to that which you know is your light, for you are needed here. Yes, John, you are needed here. John said, good. Give me all you can of your help. We know that you are helped, John, for within you there is a deep love for humanity. Hold on. I cannot say this too many times. Remember also that you volunteered to come at this time. We realize you have had difficult times, most difficult times, but you are victorious, as we will be victorious, for we have come here for a special reason. Glory, glory will be the day. Know this and carry this in your hearts. Let that seed within you of the Creator God shine and grow daily. Daily let it rise until you will become shining stars. So be it. This is Sananda. May 25, 1996, from Sananda to John. Blessings, 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 precious ones. So we meet again. Blessings for you, John. You are not excluded. We love you, John. Know it in your heart. Know it in your heart, beloved brother. This is Sananda. These sisters have a great love for you, John, and they know that you have your mission, as each one of you present have your mission. You have all been patient. Things will begin to unfold. Let it unfold. For, as I have heard it spoken, there is a time frame. Yes, there is a time frame. There is a right time for everything. We do not reveal the Father's plan, for each of you will develop for that which is needed. You praise the Father for all the gifts that He has given us. What greater gift is there to give to one another than friendship and love? Love is so needed, as it was in my time when I came 2,000 years ago. It is still needed just as much, if not more. For the circles are ending and the newness will come forward, and even the planet Earth, that is Shan, will be renewed. Yes, it will be glorious. It shall be glorious. Thank you for calling me into your midst. It is right that Nora said that I am not far away. I am not far away. If you need me, lean on me. I shall hold you for a while until you gain your strength. Know that it is coming true. Yes, John, your strength will be restored, for you have a purpose. Peace, be at peace. I leave you with the thoughts of peace, harmony, and love. For surely is here this day, and it is more enhanced as we move forward in our journey. You are dearly loved, all of you, dearly loved. Please hold this in your hearts. This is Sananda. June 1, 1996, from Sananda to John. I have been invited again into this small circle of love and light. This is Isu Emmanuel. We are waiting and watching your progress for John, and you are doing well. Continue with your faith. Yes, you are being helped, not only on this level. You will be in the remembering. You have all made promises, and it will be wonderful to fulfill those promises. Joy comes from the heart. Yes, John, you will be joyous, and you have been courageous. Yes, John, you have been courageous, for your soul knows your purpose. And stay focused. Stay focused on your purpose, and you will be surprised at the development. Blessings upon all of you. You are beloved of the Father. Keep the peace, John, keep the peace. It is a beauteous small circle, and the love and the need in here will expand. My gratitude to all of you. Thank you for calling upon me. I shall come again. Blessings, love, and gratitude. This is Isu Emmanuel Sananda.
Aho. Tanka Kantantila. Metakisam. Whether it's great spirit, whether you call it God, it's all creator. And there's no mistaking the energy. And I thank you for being willing to share that with us. It will be so, John. It's been an impatient time. But we're going to make them prove that they are liars.
You're pulling me out of it.
George Green has said to ones he talks to, oh, well, you know, John Schlaefer, the one with Alzheimer's that stumbles around.